Hello, everybody. Thank you for staying here. The first thing that I thought when they said that at 4 o'clock there was going to be a march was like, oh, no, nobody's going to come to my talk. And the second one was, and I'm not going to be able to go to the march. So thank you very much for being here. So the title of my talk is The Role of Hegemony in Preventing the Eradication of Health Inequity. And I like to start with a definition of hegemony because we all understand that it's an idea that becomes dominant. But I would like to go a little deeper and say I take my definition from Gramsci, and what he says is that hegemony is something that permeates our culture. It permeates our thoughts, it permeates our values and our attitudes and beliefs, and it has the effect, curiously enough, of supporting the status quo. Not only that, but we somehow end up believing that it's just common sense, when in reality it really has been set up to be part of a culture that supports the systems of power in society. So as you can see, hegemony really goes a lot deeper than what we usually think of. So the reason that I was interested in this subject is because I studied the social determinants of health, and there are a lot of articles, there's abundant data that talks about why it is that we produce disease in this culture. And yet, no matter how much data we have and how much knowledge we have, we still don't have health equity. So that my theory is that there is a gap between what we know and what we do. And what our colleague was talking about is one example of that, that we do have the knowledge to say that these products are bad, and yet we continue to support them in the market. So just to show you a quick picture of health inequity, and these are figures from 2000, so we could probably add to them with 2010 figures. But what it shows is that we have a lot of preventable deaths in our country. So if we add up all these deaths that are caused by low education or are attributable to low education, racial segregation, low social support, poverty, income inequality, they add up to almost a million deaths a year that could be prevented if we didn't have health inequity. So it is a huge problem. So my argument is that there is a disconnect between what we know and what we do, which is really a disconnect between knowledge and policy. And my aim with my paper was to figure out why is it that this gap exists? So I want to understand the reasons for this gap, and I hope by the end of the talk we have a little more clarity about that. So what do we know? So what we know is that political, economic, and social conditions determine health. So health is distributed according to this. We know that inequities in health by certain social categories like class, race, gender, income, education, are the result of unequal access to power and resources. We know that medical care contributes only a small part to the distribution of health. We could have perfect medical care, perfect access, perfect cost control, and we still have inequities because that's only a piece of the picture. We know that our bodies accumulate the experiences that we have throughout our life, and that through that cycle, our health is affected. We know that health and illness determinants operate and interrelate at all kinds of levels, and that we need the frameworks to be able to explain that and to understand it. So knowing all these, what do we do? So we continue to implement health solutions at the individual level. So we know that all these things that affect health happen at the structural societal level, and yet, for example, when we talk about obesity, where do we put our money? Diet and exercise. So it's all individual level. So what is the result of that? I don't think there is one single program in this country that has been effective in helping with the obesity problem. We continue to increase investment in medical care in disproportionate amounts to what we contribute to really improve the conditions in society that produce illness. I've gone through a lot of workshops in this conference where they talk about equity, and I think 99% of them are focusing on medical care. And I know that that's because of the Affordable Care Act that I think is really great, and it's a great step in the right direction. But I think that that energy kind of sucks all the energy out of looking at the real causes of inequity in our society. So we continue to increase healthcare costs. As you all know, we have the most expensive healthcare so-called system in the world, and yet we are number 17 of all the industrialized advanced countries in terms of quality of care. So we are not gaining much in that battle. We are actually losing. When I started studying this, we were number 7. We also act as if health equals medical care, and by doing what we do, we end up supporting systems of inequity. So how come we have this gap? And I don't want to go through every word here, but there are certain, in the literature that I reviewed, there are certain ways of looking at the paradigms that link knowledge and policy. And it's something that we talk a lot about. So there's a rational positivist trend that says, if we do great research, it leads to good policy, it leads to good problem solving. Well, we know that that doesn't happen. Then there's a pluralistic, opportunistic paradigm that says that the policy process is pragmatic, messy, uncertain, and considering all that, we're doing fairly well in incorporating knowledge into it. Well, as we know, we're not doing that well. And the last one says that this is really a political process, and that power infuses the knowledge process from the beginning to uptake so that it reflects and sustains the existing structures. And it is subordinate to elite interests. So that brings us back to the definition of hegemony that I was talking about at the beginning. So the disconnect happens differently in these different lines of thought. So yes, the path from knowledge to policy is fraught with difficulties. We do speak a different language. I just went to a 3.5-day conference at Academy Health where we were talking about policy. And what I asked over and over again, what's the role of research in policymaking? And the answer over and over again was infinitesimal. So that's one of the answers, that not only do we speak a different language, but nobody is trying to learn that language or even look at it. The other paradigm is that moral politics get in the way of good policy. And Moron talks about how in our country, policies get made on moral values. So we have the deserving, the undeserving, we have the good, the bad, the people that should get help, the people that should not get help. And that all has to do with moral values. And that doesn't get us very far. And that's why we have the kinds of inequities that we have with people that are not considered equal in society. So these are blacks and the poor and the Latinos and Native Americans and all the other minorities. So as long as health is treated, the last one, which is the one that I adhere to, probably that's why I'm in the Socialist Caucus, is that as long as health is treated as a commodity, and we believe in the wisdom of the market to solve all our problems, the knowledge that we have and the policies that we make will never meet. And this is something that I haven't heard about a lot, and I missed the last session. Probably that was one in which this was talked about. But it's a very unpopular thing to talk about. It's even more unpopular when you try to publish about it. So we get great scholars that are talking about this, but we have to really go out and find them because they are not publishing in the main journals. So what gets in the way of equity are values. We have an unabashed pursuit of self-interest in our culture. And in order to really get rid of inequity, we need a culture of solidarity, which we don't seem to have. The conflict of interest between public programs and private markets prevents the United States from making a commitment to have a system that looks at universal healthcare that is based on social responsibility. Instead, the mantra that we hear is individual responsibility and health and lifestyles that lead to health problems. Also, we get all kinds of narratives that distract us from the real causes and cost of inequality and inequity. So every time that I hear, for example, that cultural differences lead to problems within these minority communities, to me that is code for let's blame somebody, let's blame the people that are getting sick, let's blame the people whose mortality is higher, so that we have somebody to blame and we start trying to fix them as opposed to fixing the system. And the last one is that a hegemonic political system where economic self-interest is every bit as legitimate as science is never going to improve the situation of health inequity. So at the end of this, and especially after attending the conference that I just went to, I was pretty discouraged about what are the ways that we could deal with this. And of course, the positives would say, you know, we can just learn more about communicating. We have all these social media. We have all kinds of scholars that talk about communication. So we can learn how to communicate better with policymakers. Moron says we need to appeal to constituents. If we educate people, then they will push legislators to make policy that will take care of inequities. And I think that what we need to do is begin to contest and dismantle the system that we have, the economic capitalist system, that is not working. Because without doing that, we're never going to get the equity that we aspire to. So considering that health inequality and equity really are a matter of life and death, as we have seen, that greater inequality makes society sick. It's not just the poor, it's not just the minorities. And I think that's a fallacy of the disparity definition, that it did a great thing in calling attention to the fact that health is not the same for everybody, but then it focuses on the poor and the minorities, and that doesn't get the attention of everybody. Even though people say we do care, in reality they care more about what's happening to them. So we need to start telling a different story that really talks about it's everybody's health that is affected. It's not just the minorities. It's not that just something that we have to do for them. It's something that we have to do for all of us. And also that we have to consider that we do have, I know there are 200 articles about the effects of inequality in all of society, and yet, like in our local paper just last week, somehow we discovered that some people in Britain are talking about how inequality can affect us all. When this is something that we have known, and we haven't just known it in this generation, we have known it for a long time. As my mentor, Howard Waitzkin, says, we have a history of forgetting and remembering the social determinants of health. So it really behooves us to untangle the links between knowledge and policy, understand the processes and consequences, and most importantly, I ended up with more questions than I had at the beginning, but we really need to ask ourselves, is knowledge in the service of the state desirable for academics? So I ended up kind of questioning, okay, they don't want to listen to us. If we pay attention to what hegemony is, it's injecting all of us, including academics. And I think that knowledge and academic knowledge began with the idea that it will serve the state. So what happens when the state doesn't agree with what we are finding out and what our studies are telling us? The other thing is we need to question whether what we research and the action that we take benefit the powerless. I think that is something that we don't often do. How do we as scholars contest or address the role of knowledge in policy and power? Is that something that we think about? How do we break away from the hegemony of our political and cultural environment? It's really difficult to do that. You know, I'm not from this country, I'm Colombian, and I used to work for the state, and after working for the state for about 5 years, and I always used to fight it, I said, I'm really different, and I'm fighting the system. And then I thought, you know, if somebody came from Mars, they probably could pick me up because I smell like a bureaucrat, look like a bureaucrat, and I do everything like a bureaucrat. So it's very difficult to get outside a system when you are permeated by it, like we all are. So this is not an easy thing to do. So my last question is linking knowledge to policy the best way to combat health inequities? And I leave that question for all of us to ponder about. Thank you.